Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. We hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are also having the most fortunate day today. And we would always like to thank you for your energy exchange with us today. It's really great to spend these moments with you. We have a great guest on here, as you can see, Mr. Mark Atwood from across the pond in England, or I guess whichever pond you might be facing, but he's from England anyway. And April's going to tell you about him in just a moment. I do want to remind you, if you haven't already, kindly hit the subscribe button and turn on the notification bell so you are aware when we do get great guests on like Mark. And again, if you're looking for that reset in your life, mind, body, spirit, don't forget to visit our friends over at hempworks.com, Spiritually Raw, and you can see what they could do for you like they have done for us. Hope
and
you get
don't
that same
forget,
experience.
Please make sure to, did you say like and hit the subscribe?
I sure did. Yes, I did.
How about the Telegram channel?
Yeah, you can talk about
if you guys haven't already done that, please check us out on Telegram. That's where we do all our daily posts and communicate. But I'm going to be using this link tree now that Mark Atwood just enlightened me what that's all about. So we'll have that set up real soon. But in the meanwhile, check us out also, please, on Telegram.
Telegram.
And that being said, let me give you a quick intro for those of you that actually are, you know, somewhere in the world and you haven't heard of Mark Atwood. let me just fill you in. Hold on a second. Alrighty. Oh, wait, let me get it up. Okay. Mark has a YouTube channel. It's called The Mark Atwood Show, Adventures in the Meat Suit. But, you know, it's been up, it's been down. He's got the backup, the whole nine yards. Just go to the link tree and you'll find all the links for him right there. Now, since 1989, when Mark resigned from his commission in the Royal Air Force, he became a long-term truth seeker. He's also a poet and an entrepreneur and a very busy man, a father of five. So he's super passionate about helping people wake up to the horrific New World Order plan to disseminate the human race. And through his channel, Adventures in the Meat Suit, he attempts to understand the human condition through poetry, interviews, and talking.
All right, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, please join us in welcoming Mr. Mark Atwood to the show. Mark, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, what a great, thank you. Yeah, I'm very good. It's an honor to be here. Love your show.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Likewise. It's really good. First of all, thank you for your service there to defend us here in the world. We appreciate that. And I want to kind of get those who don't know you, we can take this opportunity, Mark, for them to get to know you. And really, what's been your driving force now with all that background, you know, a father of five, you know, being in the Air Force and really just exposing this? What has been your motivator that struck a chord with you that says, okay, I got to do this. I got to start talking about this and get people aware versus just kind of sitting back and taking it all in?
Well, it's an interesting question because I have been talking about this stuff publicly for a very long time, but not on YouTube. I've been discussing this stuff and sharing stuff on Facebook for a very long time, but it was only last August I was on a road trip with my son in Ireland. I actually live in Ireland now. And I can only describe it. Well, God basically told me to start a channel.
Did you hear it, or was it a vision?
No, it was. So I'm psychic, but I don't get voices. I do get visions, but this was like an irresistible pull. I mean, it was so irresistible. I literally pulled over to the side of the road. We got in the car to go on the road trip, and I said, I started talking to my son. I was going, I'm thinking of this, that, and the other. And he said, what are you doing? And then I said, right, we have to pull over. Right, get the camera, start, go. And it was like, boom, here we go. And it's just been long my life since. And then all this poetry started coming out. And it was, I mean, I've been a poet all my life, but this poetry started coming out. I started making these poetry videos. And, you know, they've had millions of views in the last 6 months, which is just extraordinary. And every one of them has come from God. It's not, you know, when it comes, I could be driving along and it's like, oh, right, okay, I've got to go and do that. And I go and I just write it. And then I've got to make the video and then I get the video out. And now I'm having poems banned on YouTube for poems full of words about love and freedom and unity, mm-hmm. getting banned for inciting violence and medical misinformation. So I must be doing something right. I don't know.
It appears to be that way. Love is a bad thing, man. Bad, bad mark.
How
bad
dare
mark.
You?
Well, I thought I'd start actually our chat with this, which is the frequency.
Healing fork. Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Is it I love it. Is it a healing fork or you're saying a frequency fork? Yeah, and is there a difference?
Yeah, this is tuned to 528.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I like playing this for everybody because if it comes through, everybody's getting that in the room now, which is great, or in their ears.
You can totally feel that.
You know, I like how you just kind of came out of the gate swinging with this one about your connection with God, and thank you very much for that. So for you, was it when you had that connection, because this is really important for people to grab, what was that moment that you knew okay, that this, okay, I am now talking to my higher self, my almighty, however you refer to it as your version of God. But what was that moment like? Was it instinct or did it take you time to adapt?
Well, you know, that's a lifetime story. The short version is that when I was born, my earliest memory was being demons visiting me at night, trying to recruit me as a young kid. And they were telling me that I was special and they wanted me on their side and I kept fighting them off. I didn't know what, you know, was it my imagination? No, it wasn't. But that memory got sort of put aside as I got older and went through my life. And then about 2 years ago, I had a long, dark tea time of the soul. And for the first time in my entire life, I was suicidal. And I went through that and something got me through it. And it was basically God got me through it. And all these angels appeared and just started healing me. I just got healings from all over the world, from people that had 7-year waiting list. I was straight at the top of the list. Don't even know how it happened. And they worked on me. Basically, this voice of God, higher self, understanding came, just got louder and louder and louder and louder. And it's just things were happening that were just impossible for my left brain to deny anymore. I'd been in a club. I remember being in the club in Marrakesh a couple of years ago, and my whole body was taken over by something powerful, and I was dancing like a crazy fool for like 3-4 hours.
Were you on any paraphernalia, psychedelics, anything?
No. Absolutely clean. And when
was it a fun feeling? Like, was it a good feeling?
Oh, it was amazing. It was like I was like a puppet, and I was being controlled. Wow. And I got back and had an energy healing with a really amazing guy who's written a book about all of this stuff, called Tom in Ireland. And I said to him, he said, are there any questions? I said, well, this thing happened to me last week in Marrakesh. And I said, I was a bit concerned that it was, you know, demon taking me over, because I've been fighting demons for 50 years. I haven't, you know, I call myself a demon fighter. And he said, no, that was your higher self. And I was like, oh, was it? Ah. And then when I started to recognize that's what it was, then it just got louder and louder and louder. And then I'm not saying everything, but pretty much everything when I'm centered that I do is all based upon my intuition, which is your higher self. So everybody that I've had on my channel, almost everybody has been there because of my intuition, my higher self guiding me. All the poems have come through me. And it's just amazing to be of service, because the other thing is that I've gathered a huge amount of information over the last 30 years, because as you said, I left the Royal Air Force when I realized they were lying to people. They covered up the suicides of at least one of my friends. And I realized the government was lying, you know, when I was 19, 20. And that's when it all started for me, like trying to unpick. Because back then I was totally brainwashed. I used to salute the national anthem when it came on the TV if nobody else was in the room. That's how brainwashed I was.
How long were you in the Air Force, Mark?
Well, I was on the payroll for about 4 years. And they put me through education, but I did a load of training. But I left before I finished the training. But I was signed up for 30 years. I was on the highest level that you could get in. So, you know, I was completely committed to that, because when I was a kid, I just wanted to fly. I saw flying as a way of escaping my village as a kid, but I was obsessed with flying and I was obsessed with the stars. I still am, which is why I've seen thousands of UFOs, just because I look up. It's the only reason.
Do you have any indication as far as like from your source or from your higher self, if you would, that why you, like, so you're able to see these things clearer, you're seeing a lot of UFOs that are happening for you. You know, you've always had this inclination to need to fly. Have you had any inclination of you know, why have you been there? Like a lot of people don't have that experience you're having. So can you get any insight on that?
That is also a very good question. And it's one that I've struggled with for years because when I was younger, you know, I came from a poor background. So to go into the Air Force as a pilot was an extremely rare and difficult thing to do. And very few people get chosen that apply. That made me very cocky. So I was extremely cocky for years, you know, and I ended up doing stand-up comedy, publishing, having a theater company, having TV shows, making films, running businesses. And I was a bit of a cock and I was arrogant, you know, and I had to have that knocked out of me. My God, basically, I've had it knocked out of me to the point that I got brought right to the point of death, really. And I've nearly died 5 times and survived those as well. And now I can't remember the original question.
No, it's okay. I just want to, no, it's all good. We talked
about
what we
20 do. Questions from that last comment.
But really what I wanted to get is like, if you had like, if you had any messages from your
yes.
guide,
like,
your spirit, as far as like, why you?
Well,
why you?
Yeah, well, the really interesting thing about that is that since the YouTube channel started, every morning I get messages from people. I get messages from people all over the world telling me that they see me in their dreams. I started a series on my channel called The Abracadabra Code because two people mm-hmm. that saw me on the Charlie Ward show, one of them said, I know him, rang me up. I had a conversation with him and he started telling me about how he's been fixing the universe. And I was like, this sounds incredibly crazy, but something true about this, right?
I have to listen to it.
Yeah. So I thought, well, let's do a show. And so I started doing the show and then JCK joined it. Mm-hmm. And then it's become this massive thing. It's like we just did episode 8 last weekend. It takes me 2 days to get over each episode, you know, because we end up like 10-12 hours on Zoom together.
Wow.
But we did a 3-hour live last Friday and that's like the 8th one, so we've done over 20 hours exploring this thing.
That's a lot.
Oh, it's huge. And it's
that's a lot of brain power.
But it's
yeah.
an unfolding story as well.
Mm-hmm.
And through that we've discovered the Royal Star family, which I didn't even know existed. And through that, we discovered Huna Flash, and we've connected with him. And then basically, to answer your question, I've been given a long list of names and titles and things that people think I am. And I don't talk about those publicly because it just sounds like an ego trip. But I do work a lot in the astral, and I do work with a sword. So I've always had that knowing, but it came out actually the first time I started realizing it. I was with a medium 2 years ago here in Ireland, and Spirit through her asked me if I wanted to be an exorcist. And I said to her, an exorcist? I'm an entrepreneur. I can't be an exorcist. What are you talking about? And she said, no, they're serious. And I said, why me? And she said, well, because you've got so much experience of fighting demons. And I was like, okay. And then ironically, the YouTube channel has, you know, I get emails from people every day saying that I've saved their lives and helped
Aww.
Them. It's
God
it's,
bless you.
That's amazing. Well,
it's just incredible. It's so humbling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's beautiful.
It's hard to explain to somebody that doesn't get it. The only reason I'm here with you now is because I'm compelled to share stories and to channel truth as much as possible just to help. Because there's so many people, you know, teetering on the edge about what they believe and what they don't believe and who they are. And my message really is that, you know, you don't need to be a hippy dippy whatever to be to have a connection with God. We've all got it. And this whole spiritual quarantine that we're in under the cover of the pandemic.
I love what you just said. I'm going to switch that whole thought pattern. Did you catch what he just said? The spiritual quarantine that we're all in, because that's going to really help shift the energy.
Well, that's what it is. It dawned
on me. You don't mind if I steal that, do you?
No, you help yourself.
I'll borrow it.
He'll come up with more. He's an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I've trademarked that. You better talk to my lawyer.
No problem. You got it, man.
I love that. Mark, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. Did you call it the Royal Star Family? And if so, can you help us understand what exactly is that?
Well, I'm just starting to try and understand it myself. in fact, are we able to share videos on stream?
I think so. Yeah, let's give it a go. Mm-hmm. Let's give it a
go. How do I do that?
You should have a share button in there somehow.
Share. Okay.
You see where it says share?
Video file. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, this is good. Hang on. I like this. I'm going to have to get this.
It's, see, it's the best, man. Peasy. But we'll let you. We'll all let be known here in a minute if it's the best. But I think it should be the best.
Well, I'm going to dig out a short poem that went live at the weekend, which touches on this subject, and then from the poem, I can reverse the story out to explain it. Just got to find it because it's on my backup drive.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem.
And it starts with.
I thought we were busy with three dogs. He has five kids.
Five kids.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all here all the time because me and my wife are separated, but currently there are four in the house, so that's quite good.
All right.
That's a lot.
All right. That's you don't have empty nest syndrome yet.
No. The eldest is, it's 17 as I put this up. Yep. Nice. Right, so I've got this video here. Oh, it's playing. Okay, here we go.
There and back again. Ma ha ka wa ta he. He ta wa ka ha ma. There and back again. Do you see? Multidimensional beings are we. From the energy of the first light, through the calendar of the light of days, with the veil down, we were in a haze. 1 to 10 and back again. In the darkness we held each other tightly until the light came. The dragon blood, the Taki, the Akashic potentiality. At the speed of memory, we came there and back again. From the I am to the we are, we came far, there and back again.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a nice
Mark,
short
that is
one.
Absolutely beautiful.
That's, hey, man.
That is
special. Wow, that is really nice. That's really nice. So you got a great voice for that stuff.
I know.
Man.
So I was thinking the whole time, I'm like, oh, just let it go on. You're like, they're the perfect narrator, too.
Like dreamy voice, man.
Yeah. It takes me to that special place.
You should be on an app, man.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny is that I did stand-up in my 20s, and I put it all to one side and, you know, built a business and had kids. And then I started the YouTube channel. I've been offered a part in a movie. I've been offered projects. But you know, when all this is over, I'm going back into film. So it's quite amusing, really.
Mark, I want to ask you your perspective on when you how you see that you talked to referenced in the beginning of the show throughout so far the demons, right, and how the demons were trying to connect with you, bring you to their side and that. So when you your viewer interpretation of how you've seen the demons, was it an energy, was it an actual physical beings that you were actually seeing? And I want to put this in perspective from the point to help other people that are trying to figure out what the hell is going on through my head. Mm-hmm. Is this for real?
Am I going psychotic?
You know, if you could help us put that in perspective a bit from your experience.
Well, you know, when you say psychotic, you know, I believe that all psychosis is caused by demonic entity attachment.
I agree.
And I've learned that the hard way. For me, it's kind of like when I was younger, they would talk to me. You know, I mean, it's like the cartoons. You remember the old cartoons, the devil's there and the angel's there. Mm-hmm. I think that's completely true, right? And they're there. Mm-hmm. And when you're young and you're full of energy, shall we say, you know, you often go the wrong way. And, you know, they've led me astray many, many times. And then what this whole awakening for me, my personal wake-up call was like, bash, 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 you're going to lose everything until you really understand this. That's what God was saying to me. You know, you've crammed in loads of stuff in your life. You've had an amazing time on earth. But you've nearly lost everything now, Mark. Are you going to start realizing what's going on? And that's when I really took it seriously. And they come at you, they whisper in your ear, right? So the first thing is they whisper in your ear. So if you've got a, you know, I drank too much, for example, right? And I'd get a whisper in my ear going, oh yeah, just get one bottle of wine. And it starts there. And then before you know it, you're gone again. They're all in and they're feasting on you. Now, that's like the easiest way to explain it. Like if you hear a voice and it doesn't sound like you, even though it does sound like you, it's probably not you. I mean, they've come at me in unbelievable ways over the years. The worst one was I was in my kitchen about 8 years ago back in the UK. And one day I was, because I'm a keen cook, and I was chopping vegetables. It was the middle of the day and it was a sunny day and it was lovely. And suddenly in my head, kill your kids.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
I was like, what? I dropped the knife and I ran outside and I was shaking. I was like, what? That wasn't me. What was that? And it was mm-hmm. a voice in my head. Mm-hmm. I met an ex-US Navy guy a few years later in Morocco, and he started talking to me about a thing called V2K, which is voice-to-skull technology. And he'd suffered from this as well, because they can beam thoughts into your head. Mm-hmm. And what you start realizing is that the technology and the demons are they merge, which is why we've got this technocratic takeover of the human race that's they're attempting to do right now. People can look up patents for Facebook. They want to upload your consciousness to, you know, the web, you know, all this kind of stuff. So there's that. But then, when you said physically, I've never felt physically attacked. I sense them now. So I, I'm going through this stuff at a rate of knots.
What is it?
Sage.
Sage. Oh, wow. Okay.
Cool.
So I'm, you know, you've got to clear your space. So these mm-hmm. things also help clear your space. Mm-hmm. You know, with the YouTube channel, me and the new friends that I've made in you mm-hmm. since then, we're all getting attacked all the time. This week's been really yes. tiring for me. It's just been a real struggle to get up mm-hmm. and do anything. But they're not going to win, and they've already lost. It's just that they keep going at you. Mm-hmm. There was an attack, physical attack on me about a month ago. It was so strong. I couldn't get up the stairs. I knew what was happening, mm-hmm. and it was like this big weight on my back, and I could feel it. I could almost hear it speaking to me, and I was climbing up the stairs on my hands and knees. So it has got physical recently, and there's been other things, you know, like strangulations in bed, sleep paralysis, the room suddenly going really cold, super cold. There was one time in my 20s, I remember waking up and I could see six of them around my feet. And they were like the little grays that you people talk mm-hmm. about. And they were around my feet. Mm. So I've always been aware of them, but it's a bit like that. There's an episode of Doctor Who where the there are these creatures that you see them and then they wipe your memory. So you forget you've seen them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that, because all of this spiritual quarantine is about us remembering who we are. And who we are is multidimensional. We've been here many, many times. Some of us, I feel like I was put here in disguise. And like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, and like the guy did the abracadabra video, the guys that do that, they feel like they were put here in disguise as well. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the guy, there's a couple there. The guy in that couple, they're anonymous, but we call them Juicy and Lucy. And Juicy says that he's a plumber, right, by trade. And he's a working class lad in England. I'm a working class boy from England. It's like we were all put, and all these light workers that we're connecting with around the world now are very, very real people mm-hmm. who have just been driven by this. We go back to an earlier question. What I'm really driven by is justice for the children and yeah. for the children to be safe. Yeah. I feel every mm-hmm. single one of those souls, mm-hmm. and I will not, and it will not stand. Mm-hmm. It will not. They will not pass. Mm-hmm. And that go back to that poem that I just showed you. That poem is called "There and Back Again." Now, "There and Back Again" relates to the spiritual message that's in that poem, which is about the distorted light and the undistorted light. So there's this distorted light, which is like the demonic possession and control of this planet, and the undistorted light, which is the light we're supposed to be in. And those things are going in opposite directions at the same time, and time doesn't exist. And where we're going back home to is the Royal Star family, because that's where creation comes from. Mm. So we're going there and back again. Mm-hmm. And I learned this by talking to Huna Flash, who's a Maori shaman, who talked about this with us in a private chat. And I was like, this is really interesting. And he talks about the dragon blood and the Akashic potentiality. But at the same time as I was having that conversation with him, I was doing a retrospective film. I do a kind of film school with my kids where I'm showing them great movies and we discuss the meanings of them.
That's lovely.
We were in the middle of watching The Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. and The Hobbit. And guess what the name of Bilbo Baggins' book is? There and Back Again.
There and Back Again.
But Tolkien knew all of this, and Tolkien is on record as saying that The Lord of the Rings is an actual true history of the Earth. He said that in Amsterdam in 1957, I think, on a recorded interview. It's all there in plain sight. Mm-hmm. So all of this, all of these synchronicities come together for me to write that poem, because this is going from the I am to the we are. Mm-hmm. So it's about service now. It's not about self. But the whole prison that we've been born into is based upon believing that we're separate, believing that we're worthless, and believing that our lives mean nothing, and therefore accepting this nonsensical situation where you think in the left brain, you go to work and you pay a mortgage. Mortgage means death grip in French. Why would anybody do this? It's insanity. And that's why you've got most of the population going around with masks on their face, not even a year later, doing zero research. Mm-hmm. It's extraordinary. But that's mm-hmm. why it's spiritual quarantine, because now we've had this time to grow our own vegetables, to look inside, to listen to the voice of God inside us, because we're all fractals of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you think, Mark, are we gods and goddesses incarnate?
Well, we're fractals of God, so we are God. Mm-hmm. You know, and the temple of God is inside you. You don't need a church. I mean, in fact, most of the churches around the planet, put there in the last 2,000 years, are full of satanic stuff that were put on top yes. of ley lines mm-hmm. to lock us into the grid, into the matrix. Yep. So all of that's got to be undone. I mean, look at Washington now, gridded off. That's got to be emptied out and cleaned out. That's got tunnels under it, all sorts of evil mm-hmm. shite going on down there. Same in England. I was talking to Mel Kay earlier on a show. I was talking about being in London a year ago in Camden, and Camden in London is just full of demonic symbolism everywhere. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. But only when you have eyes to see.
Is that what got you to, yep. and if I may ask you this, Mark, is that what got you from England to go to Ireland now?
No, actually, I left England in 2014 because my wife at the time wanted to move to Morocco. So we did. We took all the kids over to Morocco.
Well, how was that experience, just out of sheer curiosity? Because that's quite a move.
It was a very big experience. One of the reasons I wanted to go there is because I was seeing all this anti-Muslim rhetoric going on. I was seeing this, the Britain was just getting more and more prison-like every single week. It's got more CCTV cameras than anywhere in the world. And I've known about this satanic stuff for a very, very long time. And I've known about the kids. So when she suggested it, I said, yes, let's go. And one of the reasons I wanted to go, one of my main motivations, was to get my kids out of the school system, because the school system was patently going further and further down this evil road. But the other reason was I wanted them to experience a world where they were in the minority. So they were in a world full of Muslims. They were white kids, were mainly surrounded by black people. And that was an incredibly good experience for them and for me. And where I didn't speak the language. Now, it took me a few months. You know, I went through culture shock when I got there, but I learned to love it. And the people there are just beautiful. And what I really wanted to teach the kids was, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, people are beautiful. People are so, it doesn't matter what religion, color, race, none of it matters. Everybody's.
How long did you live there? Exactly.
Just under 4 years.
That's a good experience. That's a good go, man. That's exactly. a really good go to give something
that's
a shot
really
there.
Cool.
Wow. No, I'm really grateful for it, the experience. And then when I got to Ireland, then my marriage broke up. And then I spent like a year going, what the hell am I doing here? It's freezing cold. It's wet. It's miserable. Right. What am I doing here? And I didn't get it at all. Now I understand why I'm here, because this, where I am, this country is where Atlantis is supposed to have originated from. This country's got huge. This is why this country's been hammered for 800 years by the cabal. They've destroyed the population here over and over and over and over again. The famine was not a famine. It was genocide. You know, the famous Irish famine. You know, the destruction here has been unbelievable. And then when I woke up to all of this here, you see things in Ireland like they just built the world's most expensive children's hospital in Dublin, and guess what? It's in the shape of an eye, and it's Saturn. It's the reptilian eye. And the reason it was billions of dollars to build it is because probably it's full of underground tunnels. So this is everywhere, right? And this country's same as every other country. We're all going through it. There are dumbs here. There's dumbs everywhere. There's Vril here underground. There's stuff I could tell you that I won't tell you now. I'll wait until it's over. But it's everywhere. It doesn't matter where you live. So we have to find our own power and belief. And Q says trust the plan, but really trust the plan is another term for trust in yourself.
Exactly.
Find your own faith.
Exactly.
You cannot die. That's why my show is called Adventures in a Meat Suit, because we're spirits having a human adventure, not the other way around, which most people think.
Yeah. So there we go. Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you this, Mark, because you brought it up a little bit ago, and the sense of protection that people need to apply. So you showed us your sage, your box of sage that you use a lot. So can you give us all an audience some direction of what you think we should be doing to help protect us from this, whether we're consciously aware or not, or maybe some sort of daily ritual practice that you would suggest to help clear those energies out?
Mm-hmm. Well, about 10 years ago, a guy came into, the Celestine Prophecy.
Yeah.
That was given to me by an artist in Florida when I was in Florida 25 years ago, called Ruth Harley. She's amazing. She gave me this book and I read it and it blew my mind.
That's like when it first came out.
Was it that long? Was that when it first came out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a very spiritual artist and we got on like house. She's passed on now, but, it's the teachers arrive at the time that you need them. So that I met this guy about 10 years ago, and it was so strange to me. I kept avoiding this guy. He was introduced to me by somebody, and something in me was trying to avoid him. I now know what that was. The demons that are attached to you, they know when something that they want to avoid, right? It's like certain people will be irritated by you. When it's the demons that get irritated, and they want you to move away, so you move away from them. So this whatever was attached to me did not want me to meet this guy, but I met him and he was a fascinating guy. He's passed on now, but I still communicate with him. He, being a child, was working with this priest 50, 60 years ago, clearing the earth of souls that needed to move on. So they'd be going to sites of battles where souls were trapped there. They'd been trapped there for thousands of years sometimes. And his job was to clear. And I found this fascinating, and I didn't realize at the time why he took such an interest in me. I now know what that was. But anyway, cut long story short, he taught me this protection routine that I use every day that is very, very easy for anybody to learn. And it's basically visualizing yourself in a bell-shaped jar that's turned upside down, but it's sealed and it's covered in silver and you're inside the jar. So you're inside, and then you just basically say, I'm full of divine lights. So the jar fills full of divine light, and it's sealed. When I first started doing this, I'd find myself floating off the ground. If that happens to you, just imagine purple rope tying you to the ground just to keep you grounded. And then you basically say, I'm full of divine light, and any negative energy that comes towards me is returned to sender, and I send them to the light. When I first did it, I was doing like it's return to sender a trillion percent because I wanted to kill him, right? So I've had to go over get through the anger side of it, because these demons are kind of also part of our own journey, and they're put there to help us stand as a mirror up against us and give us that duality, yin yang. But that time is over. I think their time is over now. And
you think that's it now? Do you think that the sage component of what you shared with us, that is something that one should be doing daily, weekly, or how often would you recommend, at least from a kind of keep it around you?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is about the sage is that, people kept turning up and bringing me sage as a gift, and I'd be like, oh, thanks. And I'd put it on the side and I'd be like, what is this? And this is the thing, right? So it's all about learning to start to pay attention to the details, right? So everybody in your life is there for a reason. And often they come bearing gifts. And in my life, I'd look a gift horse in the mouth, be like, oh, thanks, and then just put it away. But actually, it's because God's sending these people to you. Because I see us as all this huge multidimensional chessboard, and we're all pieces on it, and we're all playing parts on it. And there's no ego here or anything. Nobody's better than anybody else. We've all got little different parts to play. So this sage kept turning up in my life, and there was one friend who'd come around, and she'd be smudging the house, and I'd be like, okay, great, thanks for doing that, but not really pay much attention to it.
But it's like you just sunk up the whole house, right?
Yeah, like thanks a lot. And the kids are going, oh, dad, you're one of those sage people. I'll be going, hang on. But in the last 6 months, because the intensity of the attacks have got greater, I one day I thought, do you know what? I'm going to get this sage out and try it out, because I was getting attacked at night all the time. And, you know, I was waking up at 3 a.m. and fighting this cold, you know, sleep paralysis and all that stuff. And I was like, yes. I'm getting sick of this. So I got the sage out and they started using it. I read up on it, started doing it, talked to other friends, they do it. And basically I now know if I go into my bedroom at night, I can feel it. And it's like, do I need to sage? Yes. So it's basically learning to communicate with your own higher self. And I don't know if there's no kind of set rules for this. It's kind of everybody finds their own way. But for me, I just sort of ask a question and I feel the answer.
Thank you. The sleep paralysis, that is a scary feeling. That'll shake you to your core. I want to talk a little bit about the sleep paralysis, but were you getting that because you were leaving your body, or do you think something was pulling you
and
out?
And trying to come back. And right. You were just maybe in the midst of,
in between
world of, okay, holy shit, I'm out of my body kind of thing.
Right.
Well, I definitely leave my body every night. And, I didn't realize this proper, you know, I when I was about 7, I had meningitis, and my parents were told my chances of surviving were like 1%, which I didn't know at the time, obviously, because I was like 7. And I went into the operating theater and they operated on me. And all the way through, I was having a chat with this nurse, right? This is the way I thought about it in my own head. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I suddenly realized that I was looking down on myself. My memory was of me looking down on myself, and my face was down on the operating table. And I was talking to somebody next to me who was also looking down on it. And I'd kind of, as a kid, you kind of change these memories to suit the reality that you think it's supposed to suit. And when that hit me, then suddenly all these other memories came flooding back of out-of-body experiences. And then I've had NDEs because I've nearly crashed a plane. I've nearly died of a heart attack.
That was my next question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've you know, nearly died loads of times. And what I'm loving about this, so to answer your question, I think it's I'm out, and they're either trying to stop me getting back in, or they're just messing with me while I'm out, or something.
It's a very unnerving experience.
That's, you know what? That's interesting what you just said too.
Was that the messing with them?
Well, that number one, but that maybe they're trying to stop you from getting back in, because that does make a lot of logical sense.
It's
as
a
well.
Very it happens
it
to me.
It is unnerving.
And I don't get used to it. I'm like, man, what's it the hell?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And but it's definitely very unnerving on that. And sounds like you're so when you do have that and you do
how did you pass through
it? Yeah. You're aware of it. So does that make it any easier, you being aware of it, that, okay, I'm in sleep paralysis at that moment, so you don't necessarily freak out as much? Is there any steps that you could help us with that, you know, for those tuning in that are actually going through that, to say, okay, here's how you deal with it?
Break through it.
Well, I think we're much stronger than we realize we are. And the way that I get through that is I do it because I have no fear of them anymore, right? That's the other thing that's really important. I don't fear them. Mm-hmm. Because I know that I'm eternal. I'm an eternal spirit. I know that. And if I died now, I'd die very happy. My kids would be pissed off, but I'd be happy. Because I've done everything I can. You know, I'm standing up. Just talking to you is standing up. And the kind of things I'm talking to you about now, if you told me a year ago I'd be talking about this stuff, I'd have thought you were crazy. Yeah, because I spent 20 years being an after my I turned my dad's life support machine off when I was 17, and I hated God for years. And I could not understand how this could happen under a loving God. So, you know, talking about this stuff now to me is extraordinary. So it's kind of like for me it's mental. So I'm like, I recognize you, I understand what you're trying to do, I don't consent to it, and I'm gonna kick your ass. Now go away. Or whatever language you want to use. Mm-hmm. And I often use language a lot stronger than that. So they tend to listen.
Right, because you're not feeding into the fear, because the fear is what's going to keep you in bondage and hostage. But once they're like, you know what, this guy's not messing around. Right, that's really good.
That's really good, man. That's really good. Yeah, but I want to your astral part of when you go, and I want to see if you can clear up some misconceptions here. So if someone does that, number one, Mark, do we all astral travel knowingly or unknowingly?
I honestly don't know the answer to that, because I'm trying to work out who all these people in the masks are, because they're obviously not the same. And Dolores Cannon said they were background characters. The guys, me and JC and her friends, Chris and Cherie, call them non-player characters. And I'm really unsure about whether they are literally non-player characters in this Matrix or whether they're real people. So I don't know if the answer to that. I think a lot of people that I now know that I, on a spiritual connection level, definitely, you know, I see them in my dreams all the time. So yeah, I think a lot of us do, and a lot of us that do are recognizing each other now. And because we know each, it's like when you, you know, you meet somebody for like, you've known them for years, that's because you have.
Yeah, because you have. That's a good point right there. One follow-up question. I know you got one thing here. So when you're in the astral plane, is there any truth to the fact that your spirit
the
is
silver cord?
There's a silver cord of sorts that keeps you safe, or can you get lost in the astral plane
and not come back?
I've never got lost, so I don't know the answer. But the cord, I've definitely seen the cord, or definitely been aware of it. So can people get lost there? It's not happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has, but maybe it did. You know, I was, you know, when I had the meningitis, I was gone for like 3 days. Apparently I was out for 3 days. So I don't know if you can get, I don't know the answer to that. I couldn't give you an honest answer to that. It's not.
No, it's fair enough. Fair enough.
I have a question about your meningitis, because you got that when you were at seven years old. And now it's going to lead me into my second part. But my first thought is, is there any relevance at all, especially when children have diseases or, you know, very young, they come into very critical situations? Was there anything that ever, now that you're looking back, thinking, you know what, there was just too much for me, and it was maybe for you an exit out, but the universe said, no, we're not ready for you to exit yet?
No, I don't see it that way. I feel like they've been trying to get me out of here for a long time. So, and anything that's come up like that, I've always gone, no, I'm not going yet. I've always felt like, I'm 52 in a couple of months, and I still feel like I've just started.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, Mark, so when you are connecting with yourself, source, do you subscribe to the fact as far as like guides, or is it a higher self, spirit guides, or external beings, if you would, or is it really is it ourselves that we're actually connecting with at a higher level?
That's a really good question as well, because through the abracadabra talks, you know, I say stuff to Juice and he goes, "That was you." And I go, "What do you mean it was me?" He says, "That was you, because that's your higher self in the future coming back and communicating with you." It's a bit like that film Interstellar, when he's there communicating with his own daughter. So her ghost as a kid is actually her dad, who's in the room with her when she sees it, because we are communicating that way. I like to imagine these guides. I don't imagine. They're there. I mean, I was one of the reasons me and JCK became really good friends over the last 6 months is because I described to her this ghost I saw when I was a kid, which was this woman with blonde hair in a window while I was mowing a lawn, big lawn at the house. And I said her name was Helen, and she was speaking to me psychically. And when I looked up to see her, nobody else could see her. And then JC said, "Well, she had an angel like that called Helen as well." And I was like, "Wow, this is weird." So then she starts, because she's like properly powerful medium, she starts getting the name back, and it's all connected. And what's amazing is that everybody's finding their connections. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the answer to that question, because, you know, I've done a lot of things on this journey to try and find out the answers to those questions. I've done ayahuasca, peyote, I've done all of that stuff. And
how was your ayahuasca experience, and when did you do it, and what prompted you to do it? Because normally people say, well, they want to get through something.
So it was actually my wife at the time who was researching this stuff, and she told me about ayahuasca, and then I found, and I was like, oh, you know, I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's really scary.
Right.
I'm not sure I want to do that. And
right.
the funny thing, this, my best friend at school, his brother was in 9/11. He died in the towers.
Oh, wow.
Right. And when that happened, I watched my mate go through hell trying to get justice and trying to find the truth. I mean, he even ended up on the Alex Jones channel burning the 9/11 commission outside the American embassy in London and stuff like that. I mean, he became a, and they tried to kill him twice at least. Mm-hmm. So I've been by his side throughout that whole journey. And cut a long story short, I went on a fasting retreat with him where we didn't eat for a week. And so we had a whole week to talk about stuff. And we started talking about ayahuasca. And then he was like, well, I want to go and do this. So he ended up doing it first. Mm-hmm. So he went, and I'd ring him up straight away going, what was it like? And what he described to me was like, wow, that's so mental. I've got to do it. So I booked to do it, and then it got cancelled, and then it got cancelled, and then it got cancelled. And I was talking to the people running the retreats, and they kept talking about ayahuasca as the mother, and she speaks to you and blah, blah, blah. And literally, I was so blocked off from this sort of language that I'd be like this on the phone going, he's talking about a drug. What's he talking about? You know, I just didn't really get it at all. And you don't. And they tell you that she comes to you when you're ready. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I now understand this, but then I didn't. So I ended up doing it. And my experience, I did it about 10 times. My experience was always beautiful. And
that's profound, good.
Profound as well. I mean, mm-hmm. beyond profound. And it was all about forgiveness and love. It was all about this, you know. It was just about massively about forgive, but forgiving myself, forgiving everybody, everything. And it takes ages for people to get this. You can tell them all day
if
long
if they ever get it. Yeah, yeah,
if they ever get it. That's true.
It's mm-hmm. it's the biggest thing there is.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, yep. it's incredible. And I'd be so, I was so locked in my own way. I remember looking around at people at all these retreats going, what am I doing here? I don't need healing. What is wrong with these people? You know?
Right.
And then we'll be like, they're going on about their stuff. And I'd be like, I just don't get it. Yeah. Afterwards, we'd all be passing the ayahuasca bark round and giving our, you know, and I'd be going, yeah, I'm fine. As soon as I held the thing, tears, streams of tears, blubbing like a baby, all this stuff comes out. And it's like, whoa, I had no idea. And I think that's the problem. Most people have no idea how much crap they're carrying, not just from their own lives, but from their ancestors and the lines back. And I feel like I've been carrying the whole thing for a very long time. And everything I've been doing is all about let go, let go, let go, let go. It's about let go of everything. Like I said earlier, I had a business that did over £100 million in the UK. I had to let it all go, let everything go. All material possessions, nearly lost my kids, lost my marriage, lost all my money, all gone. And then you can start finding out who you are.
That's for sure.
Wow, that's a pretty interesting experience. Mark, we're getting down to the close of the show here. I want to thank you for being on here with us and sharing, letting us get to know you. Before you love and leave us, is there anything you can share with our audience? Any last minute thoughts about, you know, just what you would recommend to stay focused to get to the other side of these things?
Well, you know, this is a real stamina test for everybody, isn't it? It's
yes.
You know, and I think what I'm seeing is everybody's obsessed with the decodes and the facts. And by the way, Gene Decode, I love him. Say hello to him. I'd love to chat to him, but I can't get past his email list.
I'll put a good word in for you.
I love listening to Gene Decode.
I'll let him know.
He's just wonderful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's obsessed with the facts and the news, and they're all like, what's going on with XRP? What's going to happen a bit? And it's like, you've just got to let it go.
Exactly.
And then people are obsessed with the dates, and then they're slagging. Then the truthers are getting slagged off. Well, you said this date, you said that date, you got that wrong. I don't trust you anymore. Forget it.
Yes.
You've got to enjoy the journey. That's why I showed you that short poem, because it's there and back again. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. And we've all forgotten how to enjoy a journey. It's like, if we go on vacation or something, we get on a plane, we're like, what time do we land? You know? And I'd rather drive. You know, if I'm going to Europe, I'd rather just drive and take it easy and then stop off and, you know, enjoy the journey, right? Because this is just, you're going to be fine. You're an eternal spirit, right? So don't panic about anything. The bad guys have already lost. So up there, they've lost. Down here, time goes a little bit different speed, and it's going to take a bit more time to play out. The bad guys are all being rounded up. The children are being rescued. That's what I know in my heart and soul. So what you've got to do is take every day to find love and hug somebody, stroke your cat, stand on the grass barefoot, drink some organic celery juice, whatever it is mm-hmm. that helps you, because it's your personal journey. It's not, and don't have any gurus. There are no gurus. You're your own guru. You're the leader
that
you're looking for. And that's what I think this is all about.
That is so on the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's why Donald Trump's disappeared for a bit. It's like, okay, look after yourselves now. And everyone's going, where's he gone? Where's he gone? Well, it's because this is about you going, hang on, I'm going to do something about this, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this is about.
I think that's the biggest revelation that's happened recently through everything. You know, the big shock that it didn't turn out the way people expected. And then it was like, you got to do a turnaround and be like, you know what?
Reconnect with yourself.
Yeah, it's forget about what you said, you know, trusting the plan. No, you got to create your own plan and trust your own plan.
That's right.
That's the plan.
It is. Right. It's brilliant. Yeah. Once you get that, it's beautiful. So
exactly.
Go for a walk in the woods, you know, do what it, you know, chop wood, carry water. That's it. Keep it simple.
There you go.
Awesome.
Mr. Mark Atwood, it's a real privilege to get to know you today, sir. Thank you very much for taking the time. We appreciate
it. I hope you come back on.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on. Much love to you, my friend. Thank you, everybody, for having us in your home. We sure hope you enjoyed this because we most certainly did. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And together we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.